just go home. I mean,
when I saw that Heaven Song was going to be singing, I got excited because I remember still the first time I heard you guys. So I said, man, this is going to be a good Sabbath. And that was beautiful. Thank you so much for your ministry. Awesome. Absolutely awesome. All right. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 14. And I'll read again verses 5 through 7. John chapter 14, verses 5 through 7. And I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Our sermon title for this morning is, I'm Lost. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise your name and give you all the honor and glory and praise for what it is that you've done for us. We've come to you this Sabbath, Lord, praising your name, honoring you for the wonderful things that you've done, for helping us through this week. And we're asking now, Lord, that we would hear a word from you this morning. Bless us through your word, Lord. Use me this morning. I'm your servant. No one is here to hear me. They're here to hear from you. Speak through me, O God, and allow us to experience you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. For my previous two sermons, I have been going over the topic of Jesus and his I am statements as we find them in the book of John. The reason that I've been going over these statements is because our theme for this first quarter is connect with his purpose. And when you go through the book of John and you look at Jesus's I am statements, I believe that when you read them, Jesus's purpose behind them is to show us through these statements his purpose in this world and in our lives. If you remember our first sermon, we talked about Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. And what we discovered when we went through that sermon was that Jesus is the thing that needs to be inside of us so that we can reach eternal life. When we look through this world and we see the blessings that we get, we have to understand that blessings come and blessings go. And God is not the blessing, but God is the one that provides the blessing. And even when blessings go away, God still remains because he is eternal. And if we connect ourselves with Christ and fill ourselves with the bread of life, we will be able to experience life eternal. And that is a promise that comes from the I am, the promise that comes from God. The sermon that I preached 2 weeks ago was not an I am statement that was followed by any sort of metaphor. It was simply Jesus speaking to the disciples in the midst of the storm, showing them that even when life goes wrong, I am what it is that you need me to be. When you need me to be it, I am God. But my purpose as God is not to get you out of the storm. My purpose as God is not to help you avoid the storm. My purpose as God is to help you make it through the storm. You see, what God wants to show us in his word is that storms are unavoidable. Hard times are unavoidable. And the purpose of his power is to help us stand when the winds are blowing us off course. When there's nothing else that we can do, it is God that we rely on, and it is God that gives us strength to help us make it through. And so this morning will be my last sermon in this short series on Jesus being the I am. And when we look at this particular text, we find it's setting in a very familiar place. When you go back to chapter 13 of the book of John, we find the disciples sitting in a certain room. during this time, it is Passover. And so Jesus and the disciples have come to this room to take place in a supper to celebrate the Passover. It's a supper that we know as the Last Supper. As the disciples are sitting around Jesus and as they're beginning to partake of the feast, something strange happens. Jesus gets up from his place, takes off his outer garments, puts on a towel, kneels down, and begins to wash the disciples' feet. Now, for us, that doesn't seem to be that strange, right? Especially us as Seventh-day Adventists, this isn't a strange practice. We do this every communion. We know this to be a symbol of humility, showing that we're on the same level. But for the disciples, this was strange. You see, this act was so disgusting that the people, the Jewish people, only reserved it for their non-Jewish slaves. You see, the Jews walked everywhere and they only wore sandals. So if you could imagine the dirt and the germs and the disgusting things that are on their feet. And Jesus, the one who is their mentor, their leader, their teacher, their liberator, their Messiah, kneels down on the ground and begins to touch and wash their disgusting, dirty feet. It's so repulsive, it's so off-putting that Peter says, "Lord, do not touch my feet. Do not wash. I will not allow you to wash my feet." Jesus' response to Peter is, "If you don't let me do this, Peter, you have no part of me." Peter straightens up quick. Peter says, "Lord, if that's the case, don't just wash my feet, but wash my hands, wash my head. Do what you got to do, Lord. Wash me clean." So the disciples see this, they accept it, and they continue on with the evening, hoping that things would continue on as normal. But as the evening continues on, things continue to get strange. Jesus, now sitting at the table, beginning to break bread, suddenly says that one of you sitting at the table is going to betray me. We've already seen Jesus disrespect himself by getting low and washing their dirty feet. But now, Jesus is beginning to give a message that he can somehow be defeated. But not only that, that someone sitting at the table, one of the chosen few, would actually have the audacity to betray him. So the disciples have no idea what's going on. So they begin to ask, "Well, Lord, is it me? Am I the one? Because I don't think I'm going to do it. But is this what you're saying? That is it some kind of metaphor, Lord, that I am a sinner and my sins are somehow betraying you? What are you saying right now?" So Jesus says, "Hey, the one who dips mold with the bread with me is the one who's going to betray me." Now, first he hands it to Judas. But because the disciples are so confused at this point, and because they all end up taking bread and dipping it, they have no idea what Jesus is talking about. So Judas gets up and leaves, and they figure, well, he's probably going to get some more bread or some more food. After Judas leaves, Jesus then tells the disciples, "I'm leaving you. I'm leaving you, and you can't go where I'm going. You're disrespecting yourself by washing people's feet. You're saying that there's someone here that has followed you that is not trustworthy, and now you're telling us that you're leaving. Who are you? Because we thought that you were the Messiah. We had plans for you. We believed, Jesus, that you were going to be the one that was going to destroy the Roman power, that was going to free us from oppression, and that we were going to be able to take the ride with you. We believe that you are going to be king, and we believe that when you are king, you are going to give us that power also. We were going to sit next to you. We were going to get rich with you. We were going to have power with you. We were going to rule with you. There was nothing that we were going to have to worry about. Our destination was a destination of comfort and peace and happiness, and you're telling us that your destination is different from what we've been believing you told us it would be. The disciples now are getting upset because the confusion is really beginning to set in. And Peter stands up at the table and says, Lord, I'm following you wherever you go. As a matter of fact, Lord, if you die, I will die with you. Jesus, sitting at the table, looks up at Peter and responds to his sentiment of loyalty with this response: will you die for me, Peter? Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Now we've got a problem, because the most loyal disciple, Jesus is saying, will fall away. What is going on? Jesus sees the confusion on the disciples' faces. And when you read chapter 14, he goes and gives one of the most beautiful texts in the Bible. He says, at this moment, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will gather you unto myself, so that where I am, you may be also. Then Jesus says, and you know the way to where I'm going. Now, we like this text. You see, we've experienced Jesus in our lives, and we take this text and we hold on to it as hope. But the disciples in this moment are confused. They are reeling in their minds right now because what they thought is not their reality. So even when Jesus said this, they still did not know what he was saying. So Thomas, the guy that we give a bad rap for some reason, who really is just the most honest out of the disciples, because he simply says what everyone at the table is thinking, he stands up and says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How are we supposed to know the way? Thomas had the strength to stand up and say, Lord, we're lost. What are you talking about? How can you tell us that we know the path to some place that we don't know to follow? We don't know where you're going. You see, when you really think about this question, it really makes sense. Because if you don't have a destination, how are you supposed to navigate to get there? Now, I know a lot of us use GPS, right? All of us got it in our phones. I know I use my GPS on my iPhone all the time. If I need to go to the grocery store, well, I mean, I know where the grocery store is, but just in case, let me put it in the directions. I've got unlimited data, so whatever. I'll just put it in there and see where it goes. Could you imagine opening your phone, getting ready to put into the GPS exactly where it is that you need to go, but you realize you have no idea where you're going? You have no address to put in. You have no street number to reference. You have no state to even put into the GPS to even maybe see a map to where you could go. How are you supposed to find the path if you don't know where you're going? My question for us this morning is, are we lost? Now, if we are, it's something that's okay to admit. It's okay to say to Jesus, Lord, I'm lost. It's okay to take Thomas's cue and start a dialogue with Jesus, because the only way that you're going to find the path is to talk to the one that knows it. It's interesting when we think about this idea of destinations and this idea of being lost, because there are so many things that we expect when we join the church. There are so many expectations that we have when we come and sit in these pews. There are destinations that each and one of us, each and every one of us have, that we think that we're supposed to get to. We think that that is the goal of this church thing. We think that when we come into the church that we are supposed to get to the destination of peace. But when we get into the church, we find that there is nothing but torment. We think that when we get into the church, we're supposed to find the destination of financial stability. But I come into the church, I pay my tithe, and I still seem to have the same holes in my pockets. I get into the church thinking that I'm going to find the destination of health, but I join the church and it seems like the health problems that I had before I joined are ramping up now that I'm here. You think that you joined the church to find the destination of an escape from abuse, but you get into the church and you find people that are the same people in the world trying to push you down and abuse you, even within these walls. You think that you've joined the church to escape racism, but you get into this building, you get into this faith, and you find that there are people that want to degrade you and push you down because of the color of your skin and tell you that your form of worship is beneath them. You come into the church and you're expecting a destination of freedom, and yet you come here and all you find is slavery. Our destinations is what mess us up. And our destinations, our preconceived destinations, is what causes us to lose faith in Jesus Christ. Because we think that if God is not taking me to my destination, then God must not be real. But what we have to realize is that the things that we want are not the final destination. You see, what Jesus is trying to teach us in this text is that we've got it all wrong. And even though the destinations that we want to get to are good things, and they are things that Jesus can help us with, those things are just stops along the way. But they are not the final destination. So when I read the Bible and I read this text and I begin to start a dialogue with Christ about being lost, he gives us an answer. What Jesus says first in his answer to Thomas and his answer to us is, I am. There's a reason that Jesus starts off with these words, because you see, when we're getting into these conversations with Jesus, sometimes we can forget who he really is. You see, Jesus, in case we forgot, is simply God in human form. Jesus is the creator of the entire universe. But not only is he the creator of the universe, he is the creator of you. And you see, he knows everything about you, not because he's just the creator of you. He's the creator of you, the creator of your parents, the creator of your grandparents, the creator of your great-great-grandparents. He knows each and every person's attitude, each and every person's mindset. He knows the DNA that has passed through your family. So now when you're speaking to God, trying to figure out what to do, you're speaking to someone who has an intimate knowledge of you, not only now, but he understands a past that you have never seen. So you're speaking to God. When you're asking for direction, you're speaking to a being that put the stars in the sky with simply a word. When you're speaking to God, you're speaking to a being that spoke and there was light. You're speaking to a God that knelt down in the dirt, molded and fashioned man, breathed breath into man, saw him rise, saw him fall, and is now with you today. You're dealing with the all-knowing God. So if you're lost and you're dialoguing with God about how you feel, don't forget who it is that you're talking to. You see, when you put this in your mind, you now expect an answer. But not only do you expect an answer, but you now expect the right answer, because you can put your faith in the one that knows all. So, Jesus says, I am. Now, what's interesting about what he does is he doesn't answer Thomas's question about destination first. He answers Thomas's inquiry about the way. Jesus says, I am the way. But not only am I the way, I'm the truth. But not only am I the truth, I'm the life. Now, when he says, I am the way, what Jesus is not doing, he is not pointing to a path. Jesus is not saying, I am God. This over here is the path to follow. Jesus is not saying, I am God. Let me teach you the path that you are to follow. Jesus says, I am God. I am the path that you need to follow. You see, Jesus isn't trying to get you to behave a certain way. He's trying to connect you to himself so that way where he goes, you automatically follow. Why? Because you're connected with him. Follow me in what it is that I'm getting ready to say, because I don't want you to call the conference on me. Jesus is not saying that the church is the way. Follow what I'm saying. You can come to church every Sabbath. You can come to Wednesday night prayer meeting, pay your tithes, come to Sabbath school on time, do all the things that you need to do in church, but you can still be lost coming to church. If it was the other way around, then all of us right now would be saved. All we would have to do is get into the pool, write our names on the little line, and we would be saved. No questions asked. But the fact is that the devil still comes into this building. The devil still comes into the church, and he still comes in the form of people. So if people can come to church and still not be saved, there must be another piece to the equation of what the way is. And you see, if the church can't save you, then the church must not be the way. But when I read the Bible and I see that Jesus is the one that can save me, I now realize that it is Jesus that is the way. And when I come to church, I'm not coming to church to be saved. I'm coming to church because Jesus has worked on me and Jesus has saved me. So now I come to church to be with other people that have joined with the way, so that along our journey with Christ, we can support each other, we can pray for each other, we can help each other, and we can also help other people that are out there who are searching for the way to find it. That's why I said what I said. When I did that list of things that we try to find when we get to church, those things, those destinations that we want so badly. You see, yeah, when you got to the church, you thought you were going to find peace. But you don't need to look for peace in the church. You look for peace in Christ. If you're looking for financial stability, you don't look for that in the church. You look for that in Christ, because Christ is going to give you something that is more than money. When you join with Christ and Jesus tells you, I own the cows on 1,000 hills. I own the silver and the gold. You don't need to worry about money because you're with me. And when you come with me and I take you home, you're going to be walking on streets of gold. So why are you worried about your paycheck here? When you join with Christ, and you actually get into relationship with him, like we said in our sermons previous to this, he shows you that blessings are not the only thing that you need to make it. And he shows you that being and going through storms are not going to take you out. As long as you stay in the way, you will make it. Jesus says, I am the way. But Jesus also says, I am the way. Then he continues on and says, I am the truth. Now, we need to re-understand what is said and meant by truth. Because here's the thing. We're Seventh-day Adventists. We have a very specific meaning when we say truth. There are certain things that we believe that is the truth. There are certain truths, you know, that were lost. The Sabbath is a truth, right? Coming to God and accepting Jesus Christ is a truth. And those are things that we stand on. The health message is a truth that we stand on. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. We have to understand what Jews mean when they say the truth, especially when it relates to God. In the Jewish mind, this word truth really means solid, means steadfast.
It means unchangeable. It means long-lasting. It's not going anywhere. It's something that has stood the test of time. And when we're talking about the truth in reference to God, it always means that we're talking about God's character. When I say that God is the truth, I'm talking about His love for us being long-lasting, being solid, and never moving anywhere. When we're talking about God being the truth, we're talking about His attitude towards humanity is something that has never changed. God has always had a plan to save us. So when we're talking about truth and Jesus being the truth, Jesus said this because He's trying to tell us that He is the actualization of everything that God has been trying to reveal to us. What Jesus means when He says He is the truth, He's trying to tell us that He is the actualization of God's love for us. He is literally God wrapped in human form, God wrapped in flesh, coming here to save humanity, coming here to save us from ourselves, and He does it through relationship. It is God saying that I am solid. Jesus is saying I am unchanging. Jesus is saying I'm not going anywhere. I'm long-lasting. I'm solid. I'm staying put. There's nothing that's going to change my mind about you. I love you. And so I'm here for you. Now, if I'm getting ready to go on a path, I'm trying to go somewhere, wouldn't I want to go on the path that will never change? Doesn't it upset you when you're going down the road and suddenly you find out they're doing construction and the GPS didn't tell you that they were doing construction? Now you got to go down 95 and hop off on 200 and pay the crazy toll that they always have to pay. It's annoying. It's ridiculous. But what Jesus is saying is not only am I the way, but I am the unchanging way. Not only am I the path that you need to be on, but I am the solid path. There are no detours when you come with me. There's no changing of ways when you come with me. I'm going to be the same God, whether you like it or not. Whether you sin or not, I'm going to have the same attitude towards you. You don't have to worry. I'm here for you. I will never change. I'm the truth. I'm the truth in God. So Jesus says, I'm the way. He says, I am the truth. And then finishes that statement with, I am the life. And what I love about Jesus is, when you read the book of John especially, there's a certain point that you see Jesus trying to get across. So He says, I am the life. I don't know how many times when you read the book of John, because He's trying to get us to understand that there is something that He has that no one else in this world has. What He's trying to show us is that there is a way to eternal life that is not found anywhere else. It is only inside of Him because He is God. Now, when we're preaching to people sometimes, and even when we think about these things, we get a little antsy when it comes to saying that Jesus is the only way. We get a little antsy when we want to tell someone else that Jesus is the only way to salvation, but think about it like this. If you have an entire globe of people that worship God and believe God, and everyone believes God in different ways, and God comes down to the earth, puts flesh on Himself, and then tells you that this is how you do it, and there is no other way but this way, wouldn't you listen to Him? And wouldn't you then believe that that must be the only way because God Himself told you that this is what you should do? That is why we believe Jesus Christ. That is why we hold on to Him as the life, because He is God that came down to this planet to show us the truth in His way, because He is the ultimate God. When you read through the Bible and you see the way other religions and people talk about God, He is the ultimate God. When you read and you see other religions and you study these other religions, you'll always find one God that is above all of the other gods. That is the God that we serve, the Most High God. And this is the God that came down here because of His love to show us the way. Now, we've seen the way in Jesus, but we're still looking for our destination. What Jesus says next, He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In that moment, Jesus gives us our destination. Our destination has always and always will be to be with God. Now, people get upset because being with God can mean a lot of things. Pastor, are we talking about heaven? What about what goes down here on earth? Jesus came down to this earth so that we could be connected with God now, here on this planet. When we join with Jesus, who is the way, who is God, we now reach our final destination in being with God. He stays with us forever. That is why when we join with God, we go out into the world and do service. Because God is trying to reach in us, through us, and grab other people so that they can be with Him. There is a reason that we should stand up for the broken. There's a reason that we should stand up for those that are oppressed. Because God is love, and because we are with God, we want others to be with God, but we don't want to wait for people to be with God later. We want people to be with God now, here, on this planet. We want to end abuse. We want to end addiction. We want to end racism. We want to end sexism. Why? Because we want God to be with us here and now. And Jesus says, this is your destination. Your destination is relationship with God, because it is that relationship that helps you now, and it is that relationship that will wake you up on that great getting up morning. It's a relationship that lasts through all of time. That's why God says, I am. You see, I am is a verb. It's a conjugation of the verb to be. And when He says, I am, it's an action word, but it's an action that is ever present, an action that never goes anywhere, an action that has been, will be, and will continue to be for all time. When you connect with the Father, you connect with an eternal source of energy and love that will never go anywhere. What Jesus continues to say when we get to verse 7, and I find this to be very important, He says, if you had known Me, you would have known My Father also. But then He says, from now on, you know Me. From now on, you know Him. And you see Him because you've seen Me. Now, this is very interesting. Remember Thomas's question. Lord, we do not know where You are going. Jesus says, if you had known Me, you would have known My Father, and you would have known where You were going. These two know words in Greek are very different. When Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where You're going, he's talking about head knowledge. He's saying, Lord, I don't know the directions, the physical way to get to where it is that You are. When Jesus answers him and says, if you had known Me, Jesus is now using know in the relational sense. He's saying, if you were in relationship with Me, if you knew who I was personally, you wouldn't need to know the way, because you would know it already. You would know the Father by being in relationship with Me. And what He says next is, now that you are in a relationship with Me, you are in a relationship with God already. You see Him. You know Him. Why? Because now you know Me. You see, sometimes we get stuck up on the path. We get stuck up on the physical things. I must dress like this. I must cut my hair like this. I cannot wear these things. I must wear my pants like this. I must tie my shoes like this. I must arrive to church at 10 a.m. I cannot be late. I must put this much amount of tithe and this much amount of offering. This is the way that I must go. Jesus says, throw that away. Because when you do that stuff without a personal knowledge of Me, you can still be lost. What that is slavery. I'm here to give you freedom. I want you to be free to worship Me. I want you to be able to stand to your feet. I want you to be able to express your love for Me through everything that you have, through all of your being, through your music, through your songs, through your words, through your speech, everything that you are. I want you to be broken from this world. I want you to be free. I want you to follow Me as the way. And what I like about this is, it's not a one-way street. You see, Jesus also wanted to know us. There's a reason why He says He is the way, because He did everything possible to be the way for us. it was Jesus that came down and wrapped himself in flesh so that he could be the way. It was Jesus that was born as a babe in a manger so that he could be the way. It was Jesus that chose a life of poverty, chose a life of one that was oppressed by the Romans so that he could know what it means to be oppressed, so he could know what it meant to be poor, so that for us, he could be the way. It was Jesus that defeated the temptation when Satan came and spoke to him. It was Jesus in this form that defeated sin so that we could look at him and see that a man could do it when connected with Christ, when connected with God, so that he could be the way. It was Jesus that was abused for us. It was Jesus that was tortured for us. It was Jesus that went and died on a cross for us, so that for us, he could be the way. It is Jesus that has cleansed us of our sins, cleansed us of unrighteousness, has connected us with him so that we can die the death that he died on the cross, so that he could be the way. But it is Jesus that rose again. It was Jesus that woke up on a Sunday morning with power in his hand, so that he for us could be the way. It was Jesus that ascended to heaven. It is Jesus that sits on the throne. It is Jesus that sends his Holy Spirit to us so that we can know the way. And it is Jesus that's going to come again. It's Jesus that's going to give me a new body. It's Jesus that's going to give me a new robe. It's Jesus that's going to call me by my name. It's Jesus that's going to wipe every tear from my eye. Why? Because he is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. And if I'm connected to Jesus, I found the way. My appeal for us this morning is for us to find the way. If we're lost, Jesus is only a prayer away. If we're looking for direction, Jesus is right there just for us. All I gotta do is call on his name. There's a reason that John 3:16 resonates so much with us. It's because when God explains how we reach salvation, it is as simple as belief. There are those of us that are lost right now. Even in the church, we followed Christ. We believed that there was a certain destination that he was trying to take us to, and we found out that that was not his end goal. And because of that, we got lost. But I'm here to tell you this morning that you're not lost. Jesus has a plan for you. Jesus has a way for you. And if you hold on to him, if you accept him as the unchanging, unmoving, solid, long-lasting way, you will be lost no more. Jesus says he gives a peace that passes all understanding. That peace does not mean that there are no troubles in this world that you will experience. It does not mean that you're going to have a life filled with comfort. But what it does mean is that when you come across those tough times, there is a power that will give you hope. I'm calling and asking for those of us that are lost to come down to the front, just so we can pray with you here. If you're lost in this Christian journey and you're trying to find your way, come down. Don't be ashamed of being lost. Thomas, who we give a hard time, had the strength to stand and ask Jesus, "What's going on? Where am I going? I'm lost." Think about it this way. If Thomas never asked that question, we never would have heard the response of Jesus saying, "I am the way." Why would you think Jesus giving you that response would be anything different? If you're struggling to find your way, maybe you've never connected with Jesus before, and you want to connect with the way, come down so we can pray with you, because we want to help you. All of us at some point in time get lost in this whole thing. All of us, even me, at some point in time, have looked at Jesus and said, Lord, where are you going? But he's always, always put us back on track. If there's no one that wants to come, then let's stand and let's pray. Yeah, man. Is there anybody else? Before I pray, doesn't mean the door is closed, but I don't want to close it yet. If there's anyone else, make your way down. Even while I'm praying, make your way down. Okay? Let's pray.